Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source of occasional sim racing news and basically general tomfoolery. The U.S. team is back. After 2 weeks of being away, we are back to cause chaos, confusion, and possibly even delay. Showing my age with that joke. This is episode 11 of our 2023 season. Joining me as ever, Mr. Louis Satterley.
You say showing your age, like you're the oldest one here.
For once, I'm not the oldest one here.
Usually every week that you're here, and I'm here, you're not the oldest one here.
I'm used to being the oldest one in the room in various other aspects, but also joining us this evening, Taylor Burris is back.
I have returned, and it's good to be back here with the crew.
Speaking of, do we even know how old Taylor is?
I'll be 28 in about...
Okay, yeah, I win.
Month's time.
Yep, Louie wins. Taylor, you're the young gun.
Yeah.
There you go, Ben. You're neither the youngest nor are you the oldest.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I am the middle child, which means I therefore get to cause the most havoc.
And fly under the radar. Meanwhile, anything I do, much like work, gets me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And then I just
Yeah, you spoiled Brett.
I get spoiled.
Yeah, I was gonna say you just had to give them puppy dog eyes. And...
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I am the oldest out of our kart chaser group. So yeah, so it's just
They got youngins over there.
Yeah, the youngest we have is not even 18 years of age half the time. So yeah, no, it's chaos.
Everybody loves a little bit of chaos. Speaking of karting, Taylor, how was your vacation? Since We don't have that much to talk about this evening, so let's do a bit of the UK show style of talking about whatever we want.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, of course, I just got back from Houston for the season opener of the Texas Sprint Racing Series over at Speed Sports Park, and I gotta say, the racing was exciting. The racing put on a stellar drive for all the drivers, even when we had to deal with some... precipitation. So some rain came about and we had some exciting racing. I have to say the best one was the four kid karts that we had.
That's the best race period on any weekend.
It certainly is. So for those of you who may not know, if you want to watch, you can catch it on Kart Chaser on our YouTube channel. Sorry, shameless plug. But if you go watch the kid karts, there's two drivers who just go at it for the finals and they both end up airborne and end up going all over the track. And next thing you know, they're looking at each other, looking at the officials, and they're like, hey, get us back out on the track so we can go continue racing. So I know I sent the video over to Ben and Lewis and the rest of our amazing crew here at the Simcast, and we all got a good little laugh of it. I actually found a picture of someone who took one, and you could see both carts up in the air, and it's absolutely hilarious. So I'll have to make a post of it on social media, so take a look out for that, and you'll get a good laugh out of it, I have to say.
So, to add my two cents in on why I think kid karts are the best race of any karting weekend, you could be having the most terrible racing luck ever. Go and watch the kid karts, and it's literally, no exaggeration, a bunch of bobbleheads that are just going around the racetrack.
Well, not only that, but they're absolutely fearless.
They're fearless, but they are just a bunch of bobbleheads. And the reason why I say that is because whenever they make helmets, the outer shell is all one sides. So whenever they actually strap this thing on, you just see nothing but padding and a little tiny pair of eyes sticking out whenever they have the visor up. And then when they're actually going around the track, some of them turn the wheel not expecting there to be G-force, so their little head goes the opposite direction. So it literally looks like a bunch of bobbleheads going around at 35 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
It'll put a smile on your face every time.
You certainly will.
Yeah, and actually, I think the best one was whenever I was down in Homestead when I was racing the state series race. There were 26 kid karts.
Yeah, we didn't have that many this weekend. We only had four in the kid kart class.
Is what I was used to. But one weekend in particular, there was 26 kid karts. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But anywho, on that note, we do have the final race for our March Madness, which goes into April, of course. It's going to be the season opener of the SCUSA Pro Tour down in Orlando. So go back to Orlando for the final time here in 2023, thank goodness. Leave Florida at one point. Next thing you know, I am going back to Florida at least multiple times in the last 3 months.
Well, there you go. That's a sign for you to move back.
No, I'm happy where I'm at.
Well, apparently not. All the racing's down here.
Oh, well, not only that. We're getting ready to kick back off here in the Midwest here in about a week or a couple of months' time.
Yeah, see, well, you guys are kicking around in the snow. I'm over here just laying back, enjoying all the racing. Although now Sebring's done, it's pretty much all over until November. So
I was going to say, how was Sebring? What? Okay, what can you share on air?
I can share quite a bit.
Okay. Am I going to have to use the censor button?
I don't think so.
Okay.
The one story I can't tell because it does use some vulgarity in there. And the other story I can censor by saying I won the competition inside the campsite by sinking the farthest empty beer can inside of a hoop. And I won the trophy. What the trophy is, I cannot mention. So
you're going to have to tell us now. Tell us after we're done recording.
Yeah, I'll tell you after we're done. Actually, I'll send you a picture of it. So
okay. That'll
make it even better. One record that we did smash as a campsite. So I don't want anybody to think that we're alcohol poisoning ourselves. Well, actually, we really were. That's pretty much all Sebring is. It's enough of that going around.
Race cars that occurs around alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. So in 2020, the COVID year, when we had the race in November, We set our all-time camp record of most number of bottles of tequila finished as a campsite in the hole for the whole week that we were there at 13 bottles. This year, which actually that's kind of an understandable thing because there was a lot to drink about that year and everybody survived, so everything was good. This year we completely smashed that record to 20 bottles. I don't know how any of us are alive.
And this is the part of the show where I say, remember, dear listeners, please do drink responsibly.
Please do. At Sebring, we're not driving anywhere. We are literally just staying at a camp or in our campsite because you can't drive anywhere anyway. So yeah, that was those antics inside the track, besides obviously enjoying the race. I did get to meet up with John and Eve from the parent company that hosts us on their airwaves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So got to catch up with both of them. That was absolutely wonderful. And I was up in the booth for Michelin Pilot Challenge qualifying. Obviously didn't go on the air or anything, but yeah. Got to hang out up there with Jeremy and John, seeing how they calculated things and watch them work, which is always actually pretty fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John is a magician on that board whenever he's directing. So
yeah. What little time I was there during the beginning of the Watkins Glen 6-hour last year, I was impressed with how much John was able to do and still commentate while he's doing it.
And fully understands what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, a funny story right quick. When we were in Orlando the weekend of Sebring, myself and a group of us were actually contemplating about driving from Orlando to Sebring.
Yeah, that's only about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, we were contemplating that. And then, of course, by the time we got done, by the time we would have got to the track, the race would have been over. So we were like,
Yeah, not worth it at that point.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, all throughout the week, was just one giant blur. I could say that. You're having a great time when you no longer care what time it is during the day. You just know the sun comes up, sun goes down, And you no longer know what day it is. I remember specifically during the 12-hour day, you know what day that race happens. It's Saturday before you leave. And literally, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what day is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're sitting there just thinking about it. So that's when you know you're having an absolute blast whenever you lose complete track of time, which obviously this was the case of. The out in line party was an absolute riot, as it always is. A friend of mine, who's actually going to end up being one of my groomsmen in my wedding whenever that happens, came out and had fun in line for the first time, and I specifically told him, do not try to keep up with everybody. Do your own thing. He specifically didn't listen to me. And spent the rest of the day, or the following day, in the back of his car with a very heavy minor case of alcohol poisoning. He did not step out. He just hated life. He was almost a tourist attraction, actually. Because he's in the we're out in line. Everybody just walks around in line trying to find people to socialize with. And he was in the back of his car, hatch wide open. He's sleeping in the back of a Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just that comes by is like, wow, you okay? You know, he's just like, no, leave me alone. That's what I'm saying. He just became a tourist attraction. So, but fortunately, he was ended up feeling better. And we got him out later on that night. And then he just became the butt of everybody's jokes. Mm-hmm. So much so that for the longest time, we used to bring an old retired hospital gurney to the races and just push each other around on that.
You know, as you do.
Yeah, this year we decided to retire that. And right on the pad, we wrote on there, his nickname is Mini Wheat. So we put Mini Wheat Emergency Evacuation Only. And just put it right in front of his camper the whole night.
Again. Dear listener, please drink responsibly.
These are just some of the things that you would see out there. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is out there listening and wondering what Sebring's like, this is what Sebring's like.
Yeah.
And I just have the mild stories. There's a bunch of crazy other things that are happening.
Yeah.
There was a couch burning at the hairpin at the end of the race.
Saw that on air.
Yeah. They try every year not to have that happen, but it does every year.
Mm-hmm. This is slight tangent. By any chance, did you see anything that happened with one of the Porsches? Or did you kind of miss that whole thing happening?
You talking about the Porsche being rear-ended on front straightaway?
No, I'm talking about
the end of the race. Crash at the end. No, so where we camp at, which is turn 11, in close proximity there, it's literally...
Wait, if you're at turn 11...
I'm at turn 11, so literally that section of track is like a rock throw away.
Yeah.
It looks like it's far away, but it's really not. It's literally walk out to the road, cross the road, you're there, sort of thing. Did not see it, but heard it all. And just heard everybody that was over there on the hill just go, oh, you know. We were like, well, crap, we just went green again for the 50th time, and again something's happened. Then we're out by the fence, notice that the cars don't come by, the top three don't come by. We're like, what happened? So we go running back over to our, under the big tent where we have the race coverage on, and then we saw the whole replay. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. So
that is one of the craziest accidents in motorsports that I've seen in recent years.
Yeah, that's, I would say that was probably on par with shock, or maybe not quite on par, but pretty close up there in shock whenever Toyota broke down coming to finish line or coming to the white flag and didn't finish.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what that was like. And then ended up handing the win to the 31 car, which, I mean, kudos to them on that one because
that car was flying at the beginning of that race.
It was. Then they started having their issues and then it just was never really a factor, but
and then the old one was flying and then caught fire.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you can't take anything away from what those guys did. But at the same time, I kind of feel like we were robbed for an absolute cracking finish between the Porsches and the Acura.
Yeah,
but they decided to finish their race a little bit too early.
Yes. Yeah, and then there was that whole thing about fans taking parts of, I think it was the 7, when I was on the literally ripping parts of the number 7. When it was on the flatbread.
Which, that's not entirely smart of them.
Yeah.
If you go to these races, and actually you probably saw a little bit of it on the TV coverage, if you look on the A-pillar on all the cars that have a hybrid system, there's a light on there, on either side, and when everything is working good, that light is green, meaning it's grounded, you can touch it, blah, 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 blah. If that light is out or it is any other color other than green, it is not safe to touch. It being up there on the flatbed, granted, it could have been engine off, but I don't know if power was off. So And any disorderly drunken fan touching that car could have put themselves underground. We'll say that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, yeah. But fortunately, that didn't happen. If that actually did happen, I don't know if that is the case. If people actually were ripping pieces off, that's not really a rowdy side of the track that they pulled it through. Yeah. So,
yeah, the there was a couple images and pictures there's a couple images and videos online of someone literally just like hopping up and down on the ground trying to pull the grower off.
That's just silly. But yeah.
Also extremely disrespectful and kind of a crap move to begin with.
Well, I wonder if there was anybody there from Porsche to yell at them for it, because
no, but the safety crew would definitely chase them off.
Okay, well then that's a good thing, because I remember in 98 whenever I went up to the Petit Le Mans, watched the Porsche blow over in person, which that was a horrifying thing to see, because you didn't know where the car was going to go. And when they had the car on the flatbed, pulling it back to the garages, a piece of the car fell down on the ground. My dad was like, oh, bonus race car piece. As soon as he picked it up, some dude, a Porsche representative, literally started yelling at him and took the piece back. So it was rather bizarre. But and then the other real safe thing I can probably mention is Hank and Sheila's rockin' tent was really awesome, as usual. It always is. Anybody who doesn't know, this is basically after all the track action's done, you go inside of the big top, as I call it, but they call it the rockin' tent, and they have some local band from wherever it is that they live, and they usually really rock, and this particular group did. They played everything. The whole crowd was behind them. It was absolutely awesome. So,
I'm glad you guys had fun while we were off the air for a little while. I didn't really do anything special except I bought a Thrustmaster DD wheel.
Well, you're going to be the only one in this side of the pond for a while with that.
Yeah, and having used it, I can basically... I have joined the camp of, dear Lord, how did I do anything before I had this? It's literally night and day, the difference.
And at the same time, how much is too much?
I haven't hit that limit yet.
You haven't hit that limit yet, okay.
Not yet.
As opposed to Jordan, he's just like, let's see if we could find it right away.
Jordan of weak wrists. He has not broken one yet, but it's been close.
Sir Jordan of weak wrists. That's funny.
Yes. Anyway, we should probably get on with this racing news part of tonight's program. And because I don't remember saying this, I'm going to say this now. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Simcast Radio. Use the hashtag SimcastRSL. Tell us what you're thinking about the show. We like the interactiveness. Get that going. I promise we will eventually post something on the Instagram, just maybe not right now. And of course, myself, Louie, Matt, Steven, and I believe Taylor as well are all members of the B-Weeks Motorsports Collective.
That'd be true.
All right. Good to know. So, since we just talked about the real life, all about Sebring, let's talk about the iRacing version. The iRacing version of the 12 Hours of Sebring took place this last weekend, and woo, the numbers. 3,218 teams, 9,036 drivers for a total of 756,571 laps.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. And Motorsport Games, no server crashes.
Gotta love it.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sebring things, I am currently sending you guys pictures of...
Yep, that sounds about right.
Of what the trophy was that I won.
Yep. And Taylor has also shared the images of the carts in the air.
I sent that to you individually, that way...
Oh my.
The UK guys aren't like, what the heck are you sending me pictures of? So,
yeah,
that's going to be the inside joke here for the Simcast for a while.
Yep, I can confirm we cannot talk about that on the radio.
No, we cannot.
No, we cannot. It was about what I expected, if I'm honest. Anyway, for the mainline event, which is normally the last time or the last opportunity you have to race the last time zone, the winners on the GTP class was Yurando Esports, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, and I do apologize. The LMP2 class was won by the Apex Racing team, and the GT class was won by some little team that you've probably never heard of, Team Redline.
Wow.
That's such a little team, I have to say.
Such a little team, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently they have some hotshot driver who's won a internet, like, it. F1 World Championship or something like that. I don't know.
One thing he didn't win was the 12 hours of Sebring because he didn't even make it the first hour of the race.
Yeah, I was going to say, according to the DCO tweet here, didn't go the way of Max Verstappen, but still Team Redline managed to score the fourth class win in an iRacing special event at Sebring Raceway. So,
yes. I wasn't going to really talk about what happened with Max, but...
Then good, we don't have to.
Yeah, well, let's just say that the I'm only here to win mentality came out very heavily during his run. They had a very light, gentle tap that, you know, it was probably just optionals, but they decided to pull the car because they didn't want to lose time repairing.
But, which, to me, for endurance racing, goes against the whole spirit of endurance racing.
And I agree with that.
If you're literally only there to win, I mean, granted, there's no points on offer here for this, but if you're literally only there to win, then how come he hasn't quit F1 for all the races that he doesn't win? Which, granted, this year and last year, there's few and far between on that.
Yeah.
Get ready to say.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's literally your mentality, you might as well just quit whatever it is you're racing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I digress.
But we digress. Yeah, and we also got news, since we're still in the realm of Sebring, we also got news from iRacing today, as we're recording, yesterday, if you're listening to this live, that confirmed that the LMP3 car is indeed coming to iRacing in June.
The Ligier.
The Ligier LMP3 car.
Because there are two LMP3 chassis choice. Well, there's actually, five manufacturers, but only two of them ever get used? The Ligier and the Dukin.
I can never keep track, honestly.
Yeah, it's the Duke. It's those two. Yep. Mm-hmm. But the Ligier, which I think is the better looking of the two.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to agree with that. It definitely sounds the best.
They're about on par.
Yeah, I like V8s, so this makes me happy.
Yeah.
We've
they all use the same Nissan V8 anyway in LMP3, so.
Yeah. We've expected for a while that the Ligier was going to be coming to iRacing just because collective internet has noticed that Sean Creech Motorsports, who drives an LMP3 in IMSA, has iRacing stickers on their car. So we were all going, I wonder what that means.
I'm pretty sure that is the same team that gave their car to be laser scanned for Studio 395, or, wow, 397. Wow, yeah. Wrong number at the end. Studio 397, yes.
Yeah. They did confirm earlier, I think it was last week, actually, that they were involved with giving iRacing some of the information that they needed. I don't remember specifically what it was right now. I'm quickly trying to see if I can find it. There it is. They helped them with found audio and there. Data. Yeah, there it is.
So,
yep, and of course this is also the car that got turned around the very first corner of Sebring during the 12 hours. So yikes. So yeah, whether or not that's going to end up in the IMSA special events or in the IMSA racing series is yet to be announced or determined. I am of the opinion that they won't do that. Mainly because the IMSA iRacing series is already pretty full to begin with. And considering that most IMSA fans want the LMP3s out of the series to begin with. And also given iRacing's low car count numbers, I don't think they'll do that. What I do think they'll end up doing is that we're probably, A, get a fixed LMP3 series, because it's not a car in iRacing unless it has a fixed series.
Right.
And we'll also probably get a version of the IMSA VP challenge, or yeah, VP Fuels challenge as well.
I think that's a consensus amongst all of us on the Sims. It'd be silly not to do something like that.
Yeah.
It really would.
There's also been suggestions online of adding it to the ESS, that's the European Sprint Series, if I remember correctly, on iRacing, that currently has the now ancient LMP1s, P2, and the GTEs, and having the LMP3s replace the LMP1s, and basically making that the European Le Mans series, which I think is also a good idea. And
that's not bad.
Yeah, and there's also, someone also suggested that I saw P2 and P3 prototype challenge.
Again, not bad.
Not bad, yeah. So there's a number of things that they can do for that car. So I doubt they're going to be putting them into the special events, though, because all, like, the special events, at least the IMSA ones in particular, they're already maxing out their car counts a lot.
Right.
To the point that they've pretty much cut all the cars that they can from the GT class that are still relevant, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't think they'll do that, because that would mean cutting one of the modern GT cars, and I doubt iRacing would do that.
Nah.
No, they probably wouldn't. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, I will say, and this is just pure speculation, June will be a big prototype month, I would be guessing.
Because I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah.
Because you have the talks of the Porsche 963 and the Cadillac, or Cadillac GTP car, plus now the announcement of how the LMP3 is coming. I mean, it would be kind of, I think probably be one of the biggest builds that we would have in recent memory since, you know, the E2 or the LMP, the brand new LMP2 car and the Corvette GTE car back in 2020.
Yeah.
And to piggyback off of your statement there, Taylor, about June being a big prototype thing, I honestly think their iRacing is not going to be the only studio with that, meaning a huge prototype content drop.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're probably right.
So yeah. I have a feeling you're going to see it across, obviously, R-Factor 2, I would have to say, and simply Grand because of their ties with the WEC, and probably see it in a race room because of what they dropped this past week as well.
I was going to say, yeah, I didn't even add that to the run of show, but Race Room just released the Mazda DPI, didn't they?
Yeah, the Mazda DPI, the KTM Crossbow GT2, and what was the third car?
And you know what? If I may say something about the Mazda DPI car, you know, back when that was actually a mainstay in IMSA, unfortunately no longer a part of IMSA now and everything like that, which I have to say is a big sad moment in motorsports, I'd have to say. But iRacing really missed out on an opportunity to add that to its roster since they have a good partnership with Mazda and the, you know, incredible relationship that they have. I say that was a big missed opportunity.
McLaren GT4 is the other one, Louis.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think ultimately race car manufacturers are seeing the incentive that they get from having their cars in as many games as possible. And I think that number is just the number of quote unquote modern vehicles that we have access to is just going to keep going up and up and up. So
I think
get to a point. Sorry, I just want to get this out of my head.
Yeah. I was letting you go.
We're going to get to a point where iRacing is going to have to look at their service and say, okay, we need to have more than 8 different cars on track at the same time now. So we're going to need to change the minimum requirements for our title if you want to race. Because that's, from what I understand, based on what iRacing devs have said in the past, that's the limiting factor of how many cars they can have, different cars they can have on track all at once, is that they want to keep the minimum requirements as low as possible. They're just going to have to say, fine, you're not going to have 12, and just raise the minimum requirements.
Well, to carry on your statement that you're making there, anybody who's getting into sim racing and goes the iRacing route, I can tell you right now, even the most cheapest computer you can get, even simple laptop ones, are way beyond what the minimum requirements are. Because I don't think they've changed that in years.
They did update it whenever they went to 8 a couple years ago.
Okay.
It was 7 for a very long time. And they went to 8 in, I want to say it was 2020.
Okay. But still, I don't know a single anybody who's on that service who doesn't have a halfway decent computer. Not to say that they're not out there, because obviously you got to dip your toe in the water somehow and find out if it's for you or not, and you're not going to spend an exorbitant amount of money on that.
Yeah, and there's,
but at the same time, if you're dipping your toe in the water, you're not going to be going into this right away simply because you can't, because of the licensing and stuff. So, yeah. And in my earlier point that I was going to mention, I completely forgot what it was, so carry on.
Sorry.
No, actually, I was going to spit it out there, and then you were going at the same time. I was like, sorry to interrupt, I'll let you carry on. And then you told me, I got to get this out of my head. So
because
like,
I'll forget, and then you forget.
And then I forgot.
Exactly, really. Okay, well, save that, keep it on your hat, and see if you can think of it later.
Now we'll find out.
Okay. So, yeah. I think that's what's going to ultimately be something that they're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good problem to have as an iRacing user, honestly. There's too many cars.
Yeah.
But
well, anyway, if you think about it, the good news is with at least iRacing, they're starting to retire some of these cars.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now I remember what my point was.
Okay, good.
So, you're mentioning all the new cars that are coming out and et cetera. It's really been, I think this problem is actually going to get worse before it gets even better, simply because of how many people are starting to gravitate towards it. Because if you think about back in the 2000s, the popularity of the American Le Mans series really came on strong because people were playing Forza Motorsport and those cars were showing up there.
Yeah.
And now manufacturers these days are going to start to realize that we can get a ton of exposure, not only for the series, but it's also our product that we put out there on the racetrack. Somebody who can't afford this now has a way to go do it, which this is the age-old adage that we constantly saying it forever. But now that literally it's been cracked wide open,
yeah,
and now just fanning out in every which direction you can possibly think of, it's only going to get worse.
Yep.
And worse worse in the best way possible.
Yeah. To paraphrase the old adage, win on Sunday, sim race on Monday.
Yeah. Well, that's now the new adage. But yeah. And actually, not even that. It's win on Sunday, watch people sim race while you win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because like, a lot of people do that too. They'll sim race and have the race on at the same time. So yeah.
That was an argument that I had with Mike Johannes a couple years ago when we were planning tour events, was that we should always have our endurance events after the real life counterpart, not before, because you're more likely to say, hey, I'm going to go do that after you watch it on television.
Yeah. Or even if you're at the event itself. Yeah,
there's that too.
Yeah. So like, here it is, what, a week and a half after Sebring?
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say my Sebring hangover is still quite heavy, but ever since I gotten home, I want to do nothing but race sports cars.
Yep.
And it was the same thing actually whenever I got home from the World of Outlaws weekend. When I got home, actually leading up to before I got home and to well after I got home, I've been playing World of Outlaws. That's still my go-to. Once the sports car kick gets done, I'm going to be jumping right back over to World of Outlaws probably. Yep. Especially after last week's news that we didn't get to talk about.
Not that you're bitter.
Not that I'm bitter.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on from iRacing and kind of staying in the same realm of things, because we're going to talk about some news cars coming to Forza Horizon 5. First of all, if you're listening to this and you play Forza Horizon 5, remember that the new DLC came out today that we're recording. Yesterday, if you're listening to the show live. So if you want to check that out, now is the time to do so. I'm literally going to go do that after we're done this evening. But as part of their monthly update stream, Forza announced the next four cars that they'll be adding to the game. The first one will be the 2021 Rimac Nevera. Did I say that? Yeah, no, I said that correctly. Otherwise known as the car that Richard Hammond wrecked. The 2022 Cadillac CT5V Blackwing, the 2021 Lexus LC500, and the 2022 Cadillac CT4V Blackwing.
Oh, I was wondering where I was at. I was like,
yeah, that's a bit redundant on that one, isn't it?
A little bit, but still.
It's starting to be like Gran Turismo back in the days whenever they put 5,000 different models of Skyline in there.
Yeah. That being said, these are all fairly new cars that are already in video games.
Yeah.
And I'm continuing on with our point. And annoyingly, I have yet another reason to play Forza Horizon 5 because I kind of want the Cadillacs because they look like fun.
They look like Crapillacs. So, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
You said that a little out loud. Just scotch out loud.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really all I wanted to talk about Forza Horizon 5. I just liked the cars and I thought they bared mentioning. And kind of
Hey, content is content, man.
Yeah. And kind of showing like continuing that conversation from about iRacing, how more modern cars are starting to show up in games because manufacturers are seeing the value of it now.
Well, yeah, especially nowadays with even I would say not sports car, actually any car nowadays, if you go out there to try to buy it new, it is stupidly expensive. So now, unfortunately, that problem's also carried over to road cars. So now if you want to drive these cars, you got to go to a video game and drive them. It's the only way you can tune them, too.
Mm-hmm.
At least on my budget, anyway.
Yeah. Let's not talk about my budget. Anyway. Yeah,
who wants to give me a gazillion dollars so I can go... Porsche.
I've already made my big purchase of the year.
Yeah, my big purchase is going to Canada in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll carry on with that later.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Gran Turismo 7, the 1.31 update is coming out today. If you're listening to this live, tomorrow, as we're recording.
Oh, yay.
Thanks to a massive leak in Japan, we already know what's included. Included is the Audi RS5 Turbo DTM from 2019, the Mazda 3 X Burgundy Selection from 2019, the Porsche 959 car, which I'm sure you're very excited about, Mr. Satterley.
I'm actually kind of mad about that one. It's the other Porsche that I'm more excited about.
Yeah. The 64 Porsche Carrera GTS.
Mm-hmm.
I remember your very long history with that car.
904, yes.
Yeah. And the odd bunch of the Toyota Alphadera exclusive lounge. Why is Gran Turismo following Forza's footsteps and adding an SUV?
Because it's Japanese.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. One of the many complaints that people have had about Forza Motorsports is that Forza Motorsports adds vehicles that don't belong on a racetrack.
Because it's Japanese.
A minivan doesn't belong on a minivan doesn't belong on a racetrack.
Well, neither does a Honda Fit, but I don't see people complaining about that. Or those little tiny K cars that they love to put on that game too. Those don't belong on a racetrack.
Those are fun though.
Yeah, if you like going 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You could physically run faster than those dang things, man.
Yeah. The one I'm annoyed by the existence of the minivan. The one I'm interested and excited about is the DTM car.
I am too, actually. Main reason why is because they put all the GT500 cars into Group 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is based off of what current GT500 is. So this was that mixed rule set between DTM and GT500 that they were going to do. And it's going to be fun to somewhat experience what could have been on that now. Which actually, if I remember correctly, back whenever I was heavy in Toro, we did a series called Formula 500, which was the GT500 cars at the time and DTM cars that were available in game at the time. And that produced a fantastic series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm more interested in this because this is DTM and we're not talking about race room. Yeah, race room seemed to have kind of the iron. It was race room, right? I'm not mixing up my games again, am I?
Or my series? It might be, but I don't play race room, so I don't know.
Let me check. Race room, DTM.
To the encyclopedias.
No, okay, it's race room.
Okay,
race room seems to have had an iron grip on DTM over the last couple years, including this era of DTM car, and now it's in Gran Turismo, and it's not even like, and it's an Audi. It's not like it's a Toyota or anything like that, because you would expect because of Polyphony's close workings with specifically Toyota and the other car companies from Japan, that you would expect something like that to be in Gran Turismo. But no, we have a German DTM car getting added to Gran Turismo. So that begs the question.
Last
house. You might need to say that again. You went robotic for me.
Went robotic? Wow.
Yes.
Am I an Android?
Well, if you're an Android...
I'm questioning my reality, so I should be a real person.
Okay.
I was saying a modern DTM car as well, as opposed to nowadays, which they're all just GT3 cars, so...
Yeah.
The last real DTM car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also a good point. So, I'm wondering where else these cars might start showing up. Are we going to see them again in a Forza? Or are they going to eventually make their way to AC2?
That wouldn't surprise me for either one.
Yep. Yeah, because I remember having a lot of fun with the DTM cars on Forza 4, which would have been an era before this particular one.
Mm-hmm. Which those cars were fantastic, too.
Yeah. Let's see. Just looking through some of the other things that are going to be included in this update, there are two new layouts of the Nürburgring, Endurance and Nürburgring Sprint. The Sprint layout is something that cuts the standard GP circuit in half, adding a little access road that kind of leads from the right hairpin connecting the back half of the circuit to just after turn 4.
Mm-hmm.
I've driven that layout before. I'm not a fan, honestly, because it you have that all of those sweeping corners to that first sector, and then you have a 90 degree corner to the right to go onto this access road, and then almost another 90 degree corner. Oh wait, yeah, another right hand 90 degree corner, and then you're back on the back straight. So,
I think you are thinking of a different layout. This is the one where they go across the traditional pit lane after they go through the stadium section and go down the straightaway. Instead of taking a left to go down the hill, they'll do a 180 degree right that basically skips that downhill section, the far hairpin, and the Schumacher chicane coming up, and it rejoins there and then completes the rest of the Grand Prix lap.
No, I'm thinking the right one, but I think I added a right-hand turn. Maybe. Potentially. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, and then what's the other layout they had?
The endurance, which they don't exactly specify what the endurance is. I'm assuming that's the combined, what's normally referred to as the combined circuit.
The endurance layout appears to introduce the same hairpin on the GP circuit in addition to the full loop of the Nordschleife. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yep.
Which,
why that wasn't a layout in game before, I have no idea.
I don't either.
Considering how many cars are sponsored by Gran Turismo in that 24-hour race.
I was going to say, considering how close they are connected to that race, that makes
sense.
Yeah. There are some new events at the Nürburgring, the Kyoto Driving Park, and Tokyo Expressway. I'm not going to go into much detail about those. The variable refresh rate can now, like, they're basically their max frame rate can now be 120 hertz, which is huge.
Yeah,
considering that most televisions operate at like 60 frames per second, having a game that can actually do 120 is a pretty big deal. A lot of gaming monitors will be able to handle that quite nicely. A cherry blossom photoscape has been added, which...
Ooh.
Yeah. I like cherry blossoms.
They're that'd be pretty.
There's been some suspension physics tweaking in efforts to, according to the patch notes, improve the stability of the car orientation during braking and traction under acceleration. They've done some optimization and aquaplaning effects on wet road surfaces to the tire model. Messed with the anti-lag systems. They've done some aerodynamic stuff in the background. The performance points, the PP, insert giggling here, has also been adjusted. They've done some things with the wireless controllers, the driver assist, sport mode. They've even gone as far as revising the prices for the legendary cars that they have in-game. So there's a lot that they adjusted during this.
Well, and one thing that you kind of skipped over, which teases at future content drop there, the aerodynamics, which, according to this, changes have been made to how aerodynamic impacts open wheel cars, which the only open wheel cars in there besides a couple older F1 cars are the Super League Formula cars. And it could... They're hinting that it could be in preparation of the new Super Formula cars for 2023 that were teased back in January. So that could be imminent now.
Maybe.
If true.
Yeah, if true. Yeah, that's the.
So that's just saying that's a nice little Easter egg drop there on that one.
Yeah. So lots of updates to Gran Turismo 7. So if you are a Gran Turismo 7 player, be sure to update your game and enjoy all of these new fun things tomorrow.
And let me know if the 917 has dropped significantly in price.
Yeah. Speaking of high prices.
Yes.
So, you normal listeners to our show will know that Matt and Steven spent a lot of the last couple shows talking about expensive rigs. While we don't have one quite as expensive as that entire frickin' half of a F1 car from Red Bull, we do have one that's licensed by a car company that has a Formula One team. Next Level Racing recently announced that they now have a Ferrari-licensed FGT Elite sim racing cockpit. This is the same cockpit that they've have a Ford version licensed of. It has the typical Ferrari details. There's a Ferrari logo in the quote-unquote grill of the rig, which, depending on where that is in your house, you're never going to see it.
Yeah, it's kind of like all the fancy lights that you put in your computer tower. That thing goes underneath your desk. You're never looking at it anyway. What's the point of having the fancy lights?
Mm-hmm. To be fair, because that's where my tower is right now, there's a nice glowing effect that I get under my desk when all my lights are off, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's about it. But at the same time, yeah, it makes you wonder what's going on under your desk and if there's an adventure you should go into, kind of like Narnia.
Anyway, and then there's red striping, and yeah, I'm not going to sit here and describe the whole rig. Because that would be great radio.
No, but it really blows my mind, and this goes to show you the impact licensing has. Because as you mentioned, they have the base model of this same exact rig with no branding on it except for their own. Mm-hmm. They have the 4GT version of it, which comes in a very, very pretty blue, which, I mean, I'm willing to spend a little bit extra just to get that pretty blue on the one that I want. This is still the same rig that I want. And then you get this black edition with a red stripe with Ferrari logos on here. And that is ridiculous. On price.
Yeah. The price for all of this, and not, I don't believe this includes the special seat, which we'll talk about in a second. This is a $1,300 rig, as opposed to the Ford one, which
was about 600, wasn't it?
800.
800. Okay, so still.
Yeah, you can also get it with the Ford seat for less than what the cockpit costs, the Ferrari cockpit costs. You can also get a special Ferrari seat, which is, again, their seat, but just with
a Ferrari logo.
Ferrari logo for $500, which, to be fair, and I actually had to go check and make sure that this was correct, that is the same price as the custom Ford one.
Yes, it is.
Except the Ford also has a floor mat with it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that aspect of it is exactly the same. What are they making this out of for it to skyrocket nearly double in price?
I think they are literally just, you're paying for the logos at that point.
Yeah, that's absolutely, that's where it becomes frustrating. So, I mean, you can literally get the base rig without any fancy manufacturer logo on it, nor Ford, nor Ferrari on it. What, $500? Or $600?
It's close to $600. Actually, okay, actually, if I'm remembering correctly, it might be the same price as the Ford.
Okay, so, and then you just slap a Ferrari logo on it, change the color to, actually, I think the base one is black too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So literally all you're doing is putting a Ferrari logo on it in a red stripe.
Yep.
And you're paying more than double.
Yep.
But uncalled for. Very uncouth.
It's very Ferrari, let's be honest.
It's very uncouth.
Yes.
I don't even know if that's the right word, but that's what's coming to mind, and that's one I'm using.
Anyway. Yeah, so, speaking of uncouth. Horseboard games.
Is Taylor still here?
Taylor, unfortunately, had to step away.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Because I really wanted to hear what he had to say about this.
Yeah. We might have to revisit this at another time, but we are kind of running short on time. So
wow, we are.
Yeah, we only have about 7 minutes left.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, so we're gonna touch on this briefly, and we might have to go into a further discussion about this whenever we talk about Motorsports Games again, mainly because they are a company that just keeps on giving for content. So the big news this week is that it has officially been announced that Motorsport Games is going to delay the IndyCar game until 2024, which is unfortunate and what most people expected to happen, because this company has only released one game and all they've done for the last 2 years is try to fix it. If you're not familiar with the I lost for a better word, so I'll just put it this way. If you're not familiar with the soap opera that is Motorsport Games, since we've started talking about them over the last 6 months, I'm going to say at this point.
It's been longer than that.
Yeah, but just within the last 6 months, they've they've lost all their board of directors, had them all leave, almost got thrown off of the stock market because of that. They regained all, or they got all new board of directors, received a massive loan from their parent company, Motorsport. I don't even remember what the... It's just the Motorsport... it's just the Motorsport family of brands. Anyway, they got a massive loan from them. And they've been talking about this IndyCar game, but they've yet to release it. And we've come to learn that they had a net loss of $36 million in 2022.
Unbelievable.
I kid you not. And the revenue, they only made $10.3 million in revenue this year. Or, well, in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they are in trouble.
They've been in trouble. I mean, it's frustrating that this is happening, but at the same time, it's so frustrating I literally don't have anything else to add to it because I'm tired of beating the dead horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not seeing...
Unfortunately, we are short on time, so now I really don't have to beat the dead horse.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number right now, but apparently they have less... Again, I don't remember the exact number right now. They don't have very much left in the reserves to continue to run the company for the rest of this year.
Oh, no.
We're talking less than 10.
This game in particular is never coming out.
We're talking less than $10 million, potentially.
Yeah. This game is never coming out.
Yeah. Which, it's extremely unfortunate because they have the licenses to some very popular series. And now those licenses are going to go who knows where. Hopefully, IndyCar in particular is smart enough to realize that they've made a bum deal and they're going to go back to iRacing.
Yeah. With that being said, it can't happen soon enough, really.
Yeah.
One, I'm tired of talking about it, and it'll probably be a nice rejoice joyous day that we talk about when Motorsport Games finally does go under, because it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to be the concern of their more successful brand or items that they do own, if those things are going to be able to survive, like the Traction website or the R Factor 2 Studio 397. Yeah. Whether they can survive the storm, we all believe they can, but whether they actually do or not is going to be something completely different, because once it becomes down to the point where they have to sell all their assets or fold them with how this company is running, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they tried to fold them.
Yeah. I think Traction GG will be fine just because they are on a completely different part of the company, of the parent company.
Right.
But Studio 397 is still something to be concerned about.
Yeah. Which, again, that is a company that was bought by a bigger parent company. So hopefully they're able to get out from underneath that shadow and still continue to do what their own thing is. And if not, I hope like heck all the developers get back together and then we end up with something like what would effectively be R Factor 3, but it'll probably be named something else because they can't have the rights to the name R Factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the last thing that we... Well, I think the last thing we want, though, is that whenever this closure does happen, that Studio 397 doesn't get bought by like EA, for example.
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
Yeah. So, anyway, in the dying moments of tonight's program, it is time for this week's esports roundup of the week brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. We will cover eNASCAR the next time that Taylor is back. So, Louie, why don't you talk about ESL R1?
ESL R1, this is going to confuse me now. ESL R1 round 3 and 4. I did manage to spit it out there. Going to discuss the most recent rounds for RenSports ELS R1 competition. They really need to work on that. In the interest of time, we will only focus on the final races from each round. Round 3 took place 2 weeks ago at RenSport's newest track, the Nürburgring Grand Prix Circuit. More Nürburgring news there. This being the first online portion of the competition at a new track, RenSport had a lot to prove. Redline's Luke Bennett would put his Porsche on pole for the final race along of now's
Nijax.
Nijax, there we go, thank you.
Yeah.
From our friends at BS Plus Competition in second after an extremely close qualifying with the entire field within 0.3 seconds, so 0.3 if you prefer to hear it that way. These two would pull away at the start of the race quickly while the rest of the pack scrambled behind them. Both Williams...
Dare McCormack.
Is it Dare or Dare?
Dare.
Dare McCormack. And Furious Felipe Bautista had received slowdown penalties on their laps during qualifying and would attempt to charge through the field in order to make up the places. RHG's Aaron Jovoski and Jiří Toman both made forceful moves on G2's Eamon Murphy to move up to 5th and 6th after Toman's disastrous start. Toman would catch the eye of the stewards later in the race after a collision with Porsche Coanda's Mark Backham and would see Toman drop behind Bautista. Bakum's teammate Josh Rogers, meanwhile, will jump the start and would have to serve a drive-through penalty, basically taking him out of contention altogether. After 8 tight laps, Bennett would just be able to hold off Nijax to take the checkered flag with Williams Nikodim. Okay, there wasn't an R in there like I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Wisniewski completing the podium. Round 4 this past weekend saw a return to the ever-challenging Spa-Francorchamps, one of the 3 tracks that RenSport has access to in its alpha form. Usual listeners will remember that during round 2 LAN or LAN events, the Audis were the star of the field. Many teams going into this round were hoping for a better BOP. The adjustments would be seen immediately as McCormack took pole in qualifying thanks to the fastest lap seen around Spa in the competition so far. Toman's Audi would be second on the grid, followed by 3 BMWs, Redline's Kevin Siggy, Nijax and Siggy's teammate Enzo Bonito. At the start of the race, Siggy would fly off the line in pursuit of McCormack. McCormack would not break under the pressure and actually pull away from Siggy, who is now under attack from Toman. The pair would battle to watch for most of the race before Toman would launch down the inside of Siggy into Lasoris hairpin for the penultimate lap to take second place. This battle would allow McCormack to pull even further ahead and take home Mercedes' first win of the competition. After those 2 rounds, Toman and his teammate Marcel Cisniski lead driver standings, with Toman having 23-point advantage over Cisniski. Rogers had been the point leader leaving the LAN event, but his penalty in round 3 and not making it into the final race of round 4 would see him drop to 3rd. In the team standings, thanks to Toman and Cisniski's points, RHG Esports leads, followed by Team Redline and Moose, or Mouse.
Mouse.
Mouse. Yeah. Redline's not winning something.
Redline's not winning something. Redline's been...
Yeah,
many good teams have been really unfortunate throughout this entire competition. I believe the next round, because I'm saying this because I forgot to put it in the write-up, will be next week. So we'll probably be covering round 6 or 4 or 5. I can count. Whenever we are back in 2 weeks. Anyway, that does it for tonight's program. Unfortunately, as I said, Taylor had to leave a little bit early. So, Mr. Satterley, words of wisdom for tonight's program.
Hashtag eat more tacos and drink responsibly. Do as you are told, not as I do.
Couldn't have said it better myself. From all of us here at Simcast, thank you for listening. Matt and Steven. I almost said Matt and Jordan. Matt and Steven will be back next week.
That's $5 into the change jar.
That's $5 into the change jar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
$5 to the dollar jar.
For all of us here, stay safe out there and have a good week.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.